Listen to WEBR, Fairfax's cable access radio station.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. And I'm here with Mike on the board. Good evening, Mike.
Guten Abend.
Nobbin indeed, and to all you little nobbins out there, there's a lot going on. Today is June 26th, and I have to mention a personal note, Mike, because it didn't occur to me until I looked at today's date, but were I still married? This would be my 30th wedding anniversary. Can you believe that? So my hat's off to Linda, my ex-wife in Florida, who is living happily without me, I'm certain. And I without her, but we're still good friends. I talked to her just last month.
Okay, I was going to say, do you call each other on these special little occasions?
No, we wouldn't call just because it's the anniversary. Right. It might be a bittersweet day.
But you could call her out of the blue just to say hi, and there would be nothing awkward about it.
No, in fact, this weekend, on Friday night, my oldest son Andy's coming here from Kansas City to visit me for the holiday weekend, and Joel, our youngest son, is going to Florida to spend the weekend with Linda.
Okay.
And so I've been in touch with both boys, and they've been in touch with her, and I haven't talked to Linda in a month, but for an ex-wife, a month is pretty recent.
Now, honestly, hats off to you, because not many men can say they're friends with their ex-wife. I certainly am not with mine. In fact, consider her my arch nemesis.
Well, I'd consider being friends with your ex-wife if you'd give me her contact information.
She's a looker, and apparently she's dating, so yeah, we can work that up.
Well, does she like old guys?
You're not old, you're older.
I always say it that way.
Besides, you're only as old as the woman you feel.
That was W.C. Fields said that, I think. Today is June 26th, and on this date in his story, besides my personal drama, this is the day in 1963 that President John F. Kennedy announced, "Ich bin ein Idiot."
I don't think that's
what he said. It was Berliner. I am a Berliner at the Berlin Wall. They'd originally given him a script that said, "Mr. Khrushchev, tear down this wall." And he said, no, I'm not going for that. I'm afraid Khrushchev might take it the wrong way. See, he just didn't have the right stuff. Like your man. And today is the birthday of Peter Lorre. Peter Lorre was born in 1904, of course, famous in movies in the 40s and 50s primarily, and a lot of times in Humphrey Bogart movies. I'm innocent. I'm innocent.
Oh, is that who he is? Okay, I was trying to think of him.
He's the guy that gets shot in Rick's, trying to sell the... hide me, Rick, hide me.
Right.
He's like, I don't hide anybody. And they gun him down right there at the bar, if I remember. I know he's on the way out. But it's hot stuff. A little bit of news in the world of sports. We're not going to spend too much time on this, but the PGA Tour has finished in Washington, D.C., it got washed out yesterday, so this morning it finished, and Ben Curtis won the Booz Allen Classic, the second or third Booz Allen Classic, and the final one, because the PGA has taken this slot away from Washington. Washington's had professional golf here since 1970, and in general, the week after the U.S. Open is not a good slot, but they were now telling him you can't have the week after the U.S. Open. Next year, you'd have to move it to the end of the season, and Washington said no. We're busy playing mud ball with the politicians back in town by the end of the season. Also, the NBA draft starts Wednesday, and there'll be a lot of big-name college players getting chosen. And then, of course, the World Cup is on, and the U.S. is out, so Americans don't care much anymore.
They didn't care to begin with, if you ask me.
No, that's true, but David Beckham earned some of his pay by getting the only goal, a penalty shot for England in a 1-0 victory over Ecuador, I believe it was, yesterday. So they're on their way.
Let me just say also hats off to Spain for defeating Saudi Arabia 1-0 thanks to a Juanito goal. Of course, Andy, as you know, I'm half Spanish, so when my American team got shoved to the side. Now I'm all about Spain. So go Spain.
Well, I think our only real concern is that Iran didn't make the round of 16 if we didn't. You know, that would be an embarrassment if one of the XI of evil had made it.
Well, that right there would be grounds for war. So,
well, a lot of people take it pretty seriously in Europe, but we don't take soccer that serious. Now, if Iran fielded a baseball team and beat us, that would be grounds for war.
Absolutely.
Because next to war, baseball is the national pastime in America.
That's funny.
So, something else that I thought was interesting was that Patsy Ramsey died this week. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
And, of course, you know who I'm talking about.
Quarterback for the Redskins?
Patrick Ramsey's mother. No. JonBenet Ramsey's mother.
Yes, I did hear that.
I figured you knew who I was talking about. So, I have to say, I read this whole obituary because of the fascination the country has with the JonBenet case and that I've always had with it. And I have to say, I still don't believe a word coming out of the mouth of this couple. I've never believed that she and her husband were free and clear of this murder. And it's a shame she died at age 49, but I have to say that she and her husband have to be living with a terrible secret because I don't believe they're innocent. And so, you know, she passed from the earth and she's now relieved of the burden she must have been carrying, because that little girl was sexually abused over a long period. She had scar tissue in her vaginal area at age 6. And so we're talking about an inside job in the household, in my opinion. So I'm assuming the father abused the daughter, right? She's a 6-year-old beauty queen that dressed up like an adult, and that the mother covered when the murder happened, and together they moved to another state and they got away with it. But I have trouble mourning her death.
Right. No, I understand that completely. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the investigation is not just stalled, but non-existent, right? They've pretty much given up all hope
of
finding.
Yeah, I mean, they butchered the investigation. But the other thing that was mysterious 3 years ago, of course, this happened, like, was it 96 or something? Yeah. The day after Christmas in 96. And in 2003, the investigators basically cleared the Ramseys and said they believe it was an intruder. Well, it was not an intruder. I don't know why they put that story out there. The body was found in the house. The ransom note was found in the house. It was a 3-page rambling ransom note that asked for $118,000, the exact amount JonBenet Ramsey got in his bonus that year from his corporation. Mm-hmm. It was a 3-page rambling note. Ransom notes are always short and sweet. And it was found in the house, and they can't prove that it was her handwriting, but it matches pretty closely Patsy Ramsey's handwriting. They think the wife wrote the note. And then the husband, 8 hours later, finds the body of the daughter down in the basement and carries it up and contaminates the crime scene. And they think it was an intruder, but there are no snow prints in the snow around the house. So it's all, I've never believed this, and I don't want to spend any more time on it, except right. that she's in the news because she passed away, and it's a shame anytime somebody dies, but I still believe that couple is guilty of one of the most horrific crimes in my lifetime. And let's see, another champion eater, Sonia Thomas of Alexandria, ate 60 ham biscuits Saturday to win a competitive eating contest at the Virginia State Harley Owners Group Rally. It's a 37-year-old woman that always wins these eating contests. I want to know where the churches are, because last I knew, gluttony was one of the 7 deadly sins, and I never hear anyone protest these eating contests. Churches worry about sex, and if that's the worst sin in their opinion, you never hear of anyone protesting gluttony, do you?
Yeah, there's tons and millions and perhaps billions of people around the world that don't have enough to eat every day, and here we are shoving Nathan's hot dogs down their throats for fun. It's kind of sickening, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, except to say that the moral police are not out there on this particular sin, and I was raised to believe that gluttony was one of the 7 deadly sins.
A sin is a sin is a sin.
And now, this is an interesting one. I got an email from a friend a couple of weeks ago, and she didn't mean to copy me, I don't think. I say it's a friend. It's an acquaintance through Toastmasters. She's a friend. I don't know her that well. And she was sending me conspiracy theory stuff about 9/11. And you know, the Pentagon released these pictures from the surveillance cameras in the parking lot of the Pentagon, trying to confirm once and for all that it was an airplane that hit the Pentagon and not a missile. Because the conspiracy theorists are out there claiming that it wasn't an airplane, it was a missile, because where is all the, where are the wings if it was an airplane? Why isn't the rubble strewn around the outside of the Pentagon, and where'd the whole plane go? And secondly, the towers couldn't have fallen the way they fell. It had to be, they had to be loaded with time-delayed bombs on each, every 10 floors or so, and those buildings were brought down from, with a synchronized attack from bombs wired inside the building. And you can go out to the web and look up these conspiracy theories, and they're out there in an excruciating detail. Google Video has hour-long presentations on there of this supposed evidence. And of course, it's all nonsense, because you could not keep something like this quiet. But this week, the reason I'm talking about it tonight, is 1,200 people gathered in Los Angeles, of all places. Why wouldn't you gather in New York? I don't know, except it is La La Land, to attend what was billed as the largest conference on the conspiracy theories that consider the 9/11 attacks to be a result of official negligence or an attempt by the U.S. to incite a world war. Now, see, the first flaw here is the U.S., if it wants to incite a world war, doesn't need to attack itself. We can go out and attack anybody we want, anytime we want. We're the big kid on the block. Mm-hmm. Now, they were saying, well, you have to have a good excuse, and then you can go in any country you want. But conspiracy theorists are convinced that the U.S. military command stood down on it on 9/11, and that the hijackers were trained at military bases in the U.S., and that the World Trade Center towers were collapsed because of a series of controlled explosions set before they were hit by the hijacked planes. And, I mean, it's just so ridiculous, because the final reports are in. You know, the National Institute of Standards and Technology brought in all the structural engineers it could find, and the Structural Engineering Organization of America, whatever they call it, has done reports on this. And they are surprised the buildings fell just from the heat generated by those planes, but that's what happened, folks. Mm-hmm. And yet we have conspiracy theorists still out there, and that won't go away. You know, we've talked about this before, Mike, but 20%ers are big believers in conspiracy theories. They can't help themselves. When you're out on an extreme on the right or the left, you tend to have a warped view of the world, and so you have a conspiracy theory about something. And so the right, the far right, has conspiracy theories about the far left, right? Ann Coulter's new book, this idea that liberalism is a religion. I've talked about that in some detail. But she makes up the most ridiculous drivel, and people lap it up because they are looking through the world through the same set of lenses she is. But I've debunked that in a previous show. It's just amazing that some of this gets taken seriously. What's so interesting about talk radio is that anybody can get on and say any stupid thing that comes into their head, and there's an audience out there for it. And particularly if you're willing to have an axe to grind and you're willing to take a point of view that enough other people share, it doesn't make that point of view right, but you can get a big audience. You know, people talk about Rush Limbaugh and say, well, he must be doing something right. He's got an audience of 20 million a week. Of course, that's over a five-day show. But, yeah, but Howard Stern also has a huge audience. I mean, what are our standards here? You know, The Simple Life with, what's her name?
Paris Hilton.
Draws a big audience. Does that make it fine television? Does the fact that Howard Stern attracts a large audience, that make him fine radio? But people want to make the argument that if you can draw an audience or you can sell a million books like Ann Coulter can, it must be fine writing. And it ain't. In any case, when we come back from a short break, we're going to move on to a couple of other things in the news, hot topics that were hotly debated in the last week or two, including the WMD, the last thing that Rick Santorum came out, senator and conspiracy theorist, came out and said, we found the WMD. And Fox News jumped on it and said, in chorus, we found the WMD. Well, it turns out we haven't.